Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So here we're trying to really increasingly master our own mind, get to know our own mind, have the possibility to work with our own mind. And in order to do that, we need to understand our mind. So what we looked at in the first four-week series, we looked at the mind in a very general way. And maybe you remember, we looked at how there's three levels of mind, for example. Our gross mind, which we're experiencing right now. The subtle mind, which we experience in sleep, like dreaming and so on. And the very subtle mind in deep sleep. The same process happens when we die. So the mind gathering in. In this book, it does explain that at the beginning, but then it then goes into a lot of detail about the gross mind, which is our waking mind. You know, gross here, it just means like the most manifest. It doesn't mean disgusting. Some of them are a bit disgusting, some of our gross minds. You know, like anger is a pretty disgusting mind. But it doesn't really mean gross in that sense, not like the American sense of like, that's gross. It means it's easier to see those minds. It's harder to see the dream minds. Now, when we wake up, it's all very hazy very quickly, isn't it? I had someone tell me not so long ago that they didn't dream. And I said, oh, you probably do dream. You just don't remember. And they started coming to meditation. And I think this kind of piqued their interest a little bit. So maybe they paid a bit more attention when they woke up. And then they discovered they dream all the time. Yeah, dream after dream after dream after dream. Every night dreaming. So that was true before, but it was like it was a little bit subtle. It was beyond their perception. They were experiencing that dream mind, the subtle mind, but they weren't remembering that they'd experienced it. So that happens a lot. We don't remember much of our dreams. And even if we do, they quickly fade. So maybe we remembered our dream when we woke up this morning, but I bet it's already kind of faded and hazy. It made sense at the time. Similarly, even our gross mind, memory is notoriously unreliable, isn't it? And yes, we remember, but we do also start to forget certain things quite quickly. You know, if I said, like, what did you have for lunch 3 days ago? I have to really think about that. So a lot of our gross minds do also kind of fade, but they are easier to see. Not easy, but easier. And so then we looked at negative minds and positive minds, and how can we begin to catch the negative ones, ideally as they're still small, and replace them with positive minds. So that was our kind of first series. The second series, which we're on the last week of this week, is looking at more the neutral functions of the mind. So in this book, there are 51 parts of mind that are explained of the gross mind. They're called mental factors, 51 different types of mind. And each one of them can have subcategories. So, you know, one of them is anger, but there are lots of different forms of anger. One of them is pride. Did you know there are 7 different kinds of pride? Yeah, and even within them, you can get variations. So this explanation helps us to understand the kind of complexity of human experience. You know, we're not simple beings, are we? You know, there's a complexity there, and everybody's minds are quite different, and our own mind is changing a lot day to day. There's a lot going on in there. So we started looking at some of these neutral minds, and in particular at how The neutral minds can be either negative or positive, depending on what's going on. So obviously, the idea is to make them more positive. And also looking at how they create our reality. So in particular, we looked at feelings and our intentions. What is our intention behind things? The intention is what we say creates the karma. The feeling is what experiences karma. And we also looked at discrimination, how we define things, like chair and table and cushion and so on. Our discrimination is very important. It's actually creating reality, like that, don't like that. We can discriminate on very small things. We're always looking for the uncommon characteristics. So I was thinking of my dad, who's just been to visit. And I can remember once seeing him in the distance, and it was just the gait. Have you ever had that? You recognize someone from their gait. It was a particular bounce. I'm like, that's my dad. I couldn't see him in any detail. That's him. Big crowd of people in a little head kind of bobbing. And sure enough, it was him. So that's discrimination at work. If we can't discriminate, we can't see the object, actually. We can't. And then our reality is different. If I don't see my dad is not appearing in that reality. I can't find him, for example, in the crowd. I don't know he's there. But if I discriminate, he's there, then I can find him and I know he's present. So I used also the example of going to IKEA and not knowing what something is. I cannot discriminate it. You're turning it over here, what is it? And then you're like, oh, it's a really clever phone stand or something. And then because I can now discriminate it, it comes into being. So one of the reasons that we think about discrimination is that often we're discriminating things incorrectly ourselves. Maybe we think I'm not good enough. That's an incorrect discrimination. Or maybe about others, and we're thinking, that's a bad person, that's a good person. Don't like. When actually everybody is someone who wants to be happy and free from suffering. And in that sense, we're very similar to each other, and we can find a basis for loving everyone. So that's what we would call a correct discrimination. Correct discriminations are things that take us in the direction of positive minds. Now, you can take any situation and you can discriminate it in different ways. Maybe there's a challenging situation. Well, we could discriminate that as terrible. This is terrible. And we will experience it accordingly. Or we could think, okay, it's a challenge. I'm going to discriminate. I'm going to choose to discriminate this as a challenge. Or we could choose to discriminate it as an opportunity. And we look carefully and we think, okay, but it's actually an opportunity for this. And it's an opportunity for this. Maybe it's an opportunity for some more compassion for others. Or some humility, realizing what I still need to work on, things like that. From a spiritual point of view, those things can be very good, very positive. So discrimination gives us a lot of freedom to play with our reality, actually, and to try to use our life to kind of grow spiritually, progress spiritually. So that's what we've been looking at so far. And what I thought we would look at this week. So this week's class is called Realizing Our Full Potential, which is a big topic. Realizing Our Full Potential. So I'm going to also look at some neutral parts of the mind that can be either positive or negative that can help us to realize our full potential. First of all, through the meditations that we've been doing, we can understand our potential. For example, we can realize that we are not those superficial thoughts and feelings. So understanding the mind helps us to understand that our deeper nature has the potential to be very, very peaceful and positive. Yeah, when I let go of those negative thoughts or feelings, they subside back into a deeper nature of the mind, what we call the root mind. It's a little bit like the nature of the ocean is water, but on the surface of the ocean, there are different waves. Still the nature of water, the waves are temporary. So similarly, our gross minds are actually temporary. All of them. They're all temporary. Our consciousness, you know, we're having like many, 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 many moments of consciousness continually. And no two moments are the same. In every moment, we're knowing something, we're perceiving something, we're feeling something, we're discriminating something. These are what we call the all accompanying mental factors. But no two moments are the same, are they? They're not exactly the same. And so if we realize that, we realize that we are not the temporary minds. And that is a really good realization, actually, because very often we are very identified with them. You know, like if we get depressed a lot, we think, oh, I'm a depressed person. So we've just put our label on that. We've identified with it. But if we can think, okay, depressed feelings arise in my mind often, but they're not fundamentally who I am. They are temporary. Like even the most depressed person has some moments when they're not depressed. The most angry person has some moments when they're not angry. Maybe when they're asleep or something. So by making that distinction between the temporary minds, and then we think, okay, well, where did they come from? They're like that wave. They arose from the ocean of my mind. Like the nature of my mind is just this clear inner space that has the potential to perceive. That's the nature of the mind. That's the substance of the mind, the field of our consciousness. And then within that, it takes shape for a moment. And then we buy into that so strongly and we grasp at it so strongly. So through meditation, we begin to get that lovely space. And then it's so helpful because we're like, okay, depressed feelings are arising or anxious feelings are arising. But they're not fundamentally me. I can relate to my potential. Yeah, this potential means because the nature of the mind is just this clear inner space with the power to perceive, our potential is for peace. That's our potential. It's always there. Just like the nature of the sky, clear blue sky. That is the nature of the sky. If you go up in an airplane, you will always find clear blue sky. Yeah, it's consistently true. When we're on the ground, we relate to the superficial temporary appearances in the sky. In other words, the clouds and the weather. But sometimes it's like a little glimpse, isn't it? Oh, there's clear blue sky behind. If we can remember that, we remember this weather pattern is temporary. It's not the real nature of the sky. So we want to do something similar for ourselves. Yes, those feelings and thoughts are arising in our mind and we need to take responsibility for them and deal with them. But they are not fundamentally who we are. This is what in Buddhism is called our Buddha nature or our pure potential. Sometimes described like a gold nugget in dirt. When we look inside, we see the dirt, but beneath that is the gold. Yeah, so I think a big part of meditation and the spiritual journey is working our way through that dirt. The great thing is we don't need to analyze it to death. There's some things, some methods in our modern world, it's all about analyzing, going into the dirt, isn't it? But here we just realize, we try to realize our mind at a deeper level. I think it can be very quick, actually. A very quick method. We're not denying what we're calling the dirt here. We're not denying those difficult minds and so on, but we're not getting caught in them either. So definitely we try to let them go as quickly as possible. And we try to remember this pure potential that we have and that others have. So others are also not their negative states of mind. They're not their anger and their anxiety and stress and so on. So we can also relate to that potential in others, which doesn't mean that we ignore the superficial presentation. We're not ignoring if they're stressed. We can still behave appropriately. But we just remember they're not inherently a stressed person. Yeah, and what we're experiencing is a manifestation of their stress. It is not their pure potential. You know, it's like someone not in their right mind, really. Yeah, and their stress is projecting this reality. And we're on the receiving end of that. But we just sort of think, okay, you know, it's like a sick person, really. We're like a sick person when we're under the influence of our negative minds. Other people are like a sick person under the influence of their negative minds. We want to take responsibility for our negative minds and free ourselves from them. We can't expect that of others, but we can at least relate to that potential in them. And we can love the potential. Doesn't mean we're loving their negativity, but we love the potential and we relate to that.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.